So I was reading the Daily Maverick the other day. I kind of really enjoy reading them, other than their Israel stuff, because heavily slanted is one way of putting it. But there was an article by Bridget Hilton Barber, which really made me smile. It was a happy story. It was a positive story. It was a story about redevelopment and people doing good things in the central city of Johannesburg. More importantly than that, it was in Ponte Nogal. And that's kind of really what drew my attention, because I thought, my goodness me, if Ponte can be fixed, then maybe there's hope for the whole city, the inner city of Johannesburg. So to talk to me about what it is that they are doing is Sifiso Zikali, the deputy CEO of Dlalanje. That means play now, right, Sifiso?
Hi Simon, how are you doing? I would like to take this opportunity and thank you for having me today here.
No, listen, it's absolutely our pleasure. I definitely want to find out from you, though, what is Dlalanje, and what are you doing in the inner city that is giving such hope to young kids?
So basically, Dlalanje is an organization. Firstly, it's a Zulu name, which means just play. So it was started in 2012 by two co-founders, Nicholas Power and Michael Lubtek. So it's an organization that challenges people's perceptions about the inner city of Johannesburg and creates opportunities through the skills development and the tours, the inner city tours and immersion that we host around the inner city of Johannesburg.
I think many people listening to us today would think, Ponte, not in 100 years, no ways I would put my foot there. Scary place, people killing themselves by jumping down the bottom, full of. Apparently, that's not the case at all. This building has been completely fixed up, and I believe there's even Airbnbs in the top somewhere.
Yes, I think that's one that's we hear this this thought and question each and every day. People get shocked when we host them on tours, you know. They don't believe the building have been turned around. Some even still think that there's garbage in the middle of the
Yes.
building. Yes, the building has been revamped since 2012, and allows us to host these immersive experiences and also run the community center down at the ground floor of the building. So it has been 10 for years now, and we feel it's about time people actually get to know about the work that is being done in the inner city.
Absolutely, and that's why we're having this discussion today. So talk to me about Lalanje. What is it that you do in the community center underneath Ponte building? It's remarkable.
So we have two community centers, one for young kids from the age of 6 up until 12, and then we have a skills development center combined with a teen center for kids from the 13 until 19 or 20. So basically we run tours, immersive host events at the 51st floor to fund for these two community centers. I'm one of the kids started playing there during his school days. Our current CEO at the moment, Grant Ngobo, is also a product of the community center. So what we
Nice.
try to do is to create a safe space for the kids around the neighborhoods to come and embark on educational activities, sports activities. We have a computer lab which tries and upskill these kids in literacy skills at a very, very young age. The inner city, one of the challenges around it is that we do have the parks, but you can really spend a space of 5 minutes in a public park without coming across a smell of a certain drug or seeing a drug addict
Really?
injecting themselves. And we know that in the inner city, most of the parents work long hours from early in the morning around 6 a.m. coming back at 7 p.m. So normally, when these kids come back from school, they don't have a safe space to run into, like a recreational space. That's one of the challenges around the buildings or the inner city of Johannesburg. It doesn't have much of recreational spaces, and that's what we try to preach for the kids not to fail, to fall into to wrong company or wrong things. So we provide the space for them to come and learn and be kids at our spaces. And we just returned from the year end camp this past weekend. So normally, because we're also into the tourism sector, we try to let the kids to dream as much as they can, to say, just because you're from underprivileged neighborhood doesn't mean that's where the world starts or ends. You know, we just came back from Mahalisburg, just for these young ones to dream big and for tomorrow to for them to grow up and be something better.
That's absolutely remarkable. Tell me, how many lives are you touching? How many people are coming through your doors?
So we've hosted the tours for the past 13 years, and we've managed to actually open our doors and take people and challenge people's perceptions for over 25,000 people since we opened in 2012. And we have also impacted more than 600 kids each and every year with our spaces.
More than 600 kids each and every year. That is a pretty phenomenal number. One of the reasons that I was so moved and impressed was that the Daily Maverick highlighted incredible stories of young people whose lives have changed through the work that you do.
Yes.
Talk to us about one or two stories, success stories that have emerged from the facility.
Oh, definitely. I don't think I will have to go point far. I'm sitting here as an example from a young boy who grew up in Hill, Properia, and Yuvel. Today is on a radio station speaking about what the organization has done for us. You know, we have our current CEO, as I mentioned earlier, Grant Ngobo, who started coming to the center at an age of 14 years old. Today, he runs and maintains the organization.
That's pretty remarkable. So, you know, you're actually seeing the potential in this youth that you are dealing with each and every day. What do you think it is that we as the rest of South Africa are overlooking or not seeing in these children?
I don't think it's too directly to the kids. I think as South Africans, we are caught up in a lot of fear, which ends up blinding us. You know, I sometimes ask people when they say, why are you operating in Hillbrow? Why Hillbrow? Everyone is scared of the neighborhoods. And I say, if somebody comes and has a break-in in your home, are you going to pack your bags and run away? Or are you going to tighten up the security and make sure that never happens? And that goes to each and every South African who has abandoned or has given up on the inner city. The city has its challenges, but as South Africans, are we just going to run away and abandon our own city? Or are you going to work together and make sure that we get productive around it and develop, especially these young kids that are around the inner city? Because if we not, then we still have a problem tomorrow to say there's people growing up in the inner city without the necessary skills to survive the future.
So if you're talking to us in the north, and it really is unfortunately a realistic split, a realistic divide between the city and the north, what do you think are our misconceptions about Hillbrow and Berea?
I think most people are just caught up in fear, and they also don't understand why the ECT is what it is today. You know, some people, when you take them on a tour, you tell them that the inner city of Johannesburg was the place it was sent in the 70s. People get shocked, and then they ask themselves, what's really, really happened? And then that's where most of the conversations start happening. And the funny thing is that during COVID, or when we came back from COVID, we started hosting a lot of South Africans on our tours, and people wouldn't believe it. People were super, super amazed to say there's this work we do in the inner city, you know. And since we've been getting massive support from locals, a lot of volunteers coming through. I think a big shout out also to Andrea Weiner, who has came into the city just to also really help us with the work of the kids. Because one of the biggest challenges that people may take lightly is that we have these young kids who it's even hard to assist with homework because they don't read with understanding. You know, they may read a sentence, but only to figure out that they actually don't understand what that sentence requires them to do. And that's the challenge we face each and every day. And she's been a very, very pillar of the community for the past year or a year and a half, you know. So for me, it's a big call out to everyone around, everyone listening, to say, come, let's work together, let's impact. We are a non-profit organization needing help here and there, funding here and there. But one of the biggest thing we pride ourselves is that sometimes your time is better than money. It's better than a check that you write. Because with your time, you get to teach a kid something new, a skill, a way to tackle life. So people's time really, really matters when it comes to these young kids.
And tell me something, Sophie, that was actually the last question that I was going to ask you. If people are interested in contributing either of their resources or themselves and their time, how do they go about doing that?
So they can reach out to us at info@lalenjet.org or directly to me at sifiso@lalenjet.org.
Sifiso, we're going to leave it there this afternoon. Continue doing the amazing work that you are doing and what a difference you are making.
Thank you so much, Simone. Have a great day.